Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Good morning, Stacey. How are you?
Morning, Stacey.
Good morning. Hey, Ruthie. Hey, David. Great to be with you. What a week it is. Look, this is the biggest game of the week. Are we not pumped?
I think everybody's pumped. And you saw the Packers up close and personal on Thanksgiving Day. A day later, the Bears made the statement they did in Philadelphia with a signature victory of the Ben Johnson era. Sunday at Lambeau Field, you will be there. What do you expect?
I expect a heated divisional battle. I mean, this is just the second time you guys, the Bears and the Packers, are facing off in the Super Bowl era with both teams entering with five or more games above 500. Like, that's how good both of these franchises are this season. And we haven't seen that. If you're a Bears fan and you're listening to this, you're nodding your head because it just hasn't been that way. It's been such a lopsided game. And having witnessed what we both did, now it's going to be interesting because both of these teams played late last week. So, you know, the Bears changed up their media schedule this week. As you guys know, they had their long run of the quarterback and the head coach and a bevy of other things yesterday. So they're not available today. And I just think it was to move them up, get them on the field a little bit earlier, given that they played Friday. And the Packers played all the way back on Thursday. So we'll see who shakes out those little cobwebs over Thanksgiving the best here at Lambeau. It's going to be cold. And it's going to be, you know, traditional black and blue Bears, Packers, two teams that have faced off more than any in the NFL and in NFL history, really.
Stacey, the Bears lead the league in takeaways. As you know, the Packers lead the league in not giving the ball away. How do you see that yeah. matching up?
Well, you raised, Ruthie, such a good point. I mean, the Bears have 26 of them. The Packers have 7. That's it. I mean, in Jordan Love's victories this season, he has thrown one interception, 18 passing touchdowns to one pick. He has been really good. He's especially been good lately, and he's been good at every depth of the field. And what I mean when I say that, if you go back and you look at, you know, how he handles the backfield, to those intermediate throws, to the middle of the field, to the depth of the field. So, you know, 1 to 9 yards, 10 to 19, 20 to 30, 20 to 29. His passer rating is good everywhere. And so he's playing at a really high level. I think what's interesting, though, Ruthie, is everybody has talked about, as we witnessed with Jalen Hurts and company, right? I mean, you guys saw the pregame interview that he did, leading into that game. I think it was with Kaylee Hartung. And, you know, she brought up the takeaways with the Bears. And he said, well, we lead the league in fewest giveaways. Mm. Everybody's saying it, but they're not doing it because the Bears have just a nose for the football. And what's even better, guys, they have 80 points off of those takeaways, the Chicago Bears do. 80 points off of takeaways, which is second in the NFL behind Pittsburgh. So, you know, you better take care of the ball if you're the Green Bay Packers at home on Sunday.
Stacey, I can recall being there and seeing you at Hallis Hall on the day that Ben Johnson was introduced. And it was just last January, even though it seems longer ago. And I think you came away like all of us in the room. Wow, this guy's different. And it's going to take some getting used to in a good way. So if you had to go back and maybe over the last 11 months or the past year and describe what he has done to make this culture as different as it is now, a winning culture, if you will. Some people resist using that word at all. But what would be some examples and how would you describe it in general?
I would say that just as I think about this question, David, he's been flexible yet very intentional with his plan. He has not wavered from that plan. And I go back to times when I've been coached in sports, and coaches that have a plan, you know, even back to my college days when we were given a binder to go away for the summer and come back, there was a schedule in there. And if you don't follow that schedule and you come back and you step on the court and you look like you're lost, well, you didn't follow it. And so there's been an expectation. I was on the phone last night with Kyle Menungai, who's been probably, could we agree, guys, the best rookie rusher in the NFL, right?
Amazing. Wow. Yes. Amazing.
Yes, but wow.
Honestly, who's been better?
Right.
Right.
I mean, Gentry hasn't been as good as him. Like, he has been unreal. And, you know, he talked about the expectation is the expectation with Ben Johnson. And if you fall short, you're not getting on the field. And it has happened. What's really impressive to me, though, with that, guys, is like it's happened at every position group. So I feel like Ben has really delegated to his assistant coaches. And, you know, I think Dennis Allen has done the same thing. I mean, you look at Al Harris on the other side of the football. Are you kidding me? Like what he's got Nashawn Wright doing and what he's got. Kevin Byard is back to like he's 19 years old again. I mean, I just feel like the coaching has been very, very intentional. And we talked about this, David, last week, as you know, just the plan that has been put in place and yet the flexibility. Like even this week, tweaking it, I know as media base, it's like, oh, well, Wednesday's different now. And like I couldn't go out there yesterday because I just couldn't. I had a lot of prior commitments, and I'll go out there this week, probably Thursday, to hear the coordinators. But that was done very strategically. I mean, he is locked into these guys. They are locked into him, and he is still flexible at the same time, changing things that needed to be changed. And then I would just also say, David, like, and Ruthie, his press conferences are so as transparent as a coach can be. Mm. Like, I do believe that. I mean, to hear him talk about Caleb, and for everybody listening, like, don't get so upset when we talk about quarterbacks managing games. Because four quarters of football, you know, I remember Tom Brady in his latest broadcast, I think it was Tom, or it was, no, it was J.J. Watt, talking about the middle eight, which is the last 4 minutes of the second quarter and the first 4 minutes of the third quarter. So it's that time going into half and that time coming out of half. And, you know, I share that because I feel like we're getting to a point now where Caleb is managing the biggest moments, right? Like we can agree that he's been clutch in the biggest moments, but I really feel like they're going to start managing them in every quarter. And I felt like they did that for the first time against Philadelphia. I thought that was their most complete football game.
You talk about Ben Johnson in press conferences. David brought up that introductory press conference, and it was making the rounds on Friday, Stacey, when Ben Johnson called out Matt LaFleur and said he loves to beat him twice a year. Obviously, that lit a match, right, for a rivalry that's already in flames. And I'm just curious, you, I know, have gotten to know Matt LaFleur well. Mm-hmm. How do you think that that plays a part into this game on Sunday? Because these are two guys, I think, with big egos, if I'm reading this correctly.
Ruthie, you're right on it. Big egos. I love it. Oh, my God. I'm giggling because you're so right. Like, you can't not have a big ego to be a good head coach
right.
in the NFL.
Sorry. It's a compliment, I mean, right? Yeah.
It's such a compliment. And I vividly remember back to that press conference, as David alluded to when we started, and we were there and we were all quite enamored, and we're all like, well, let's wait and see what mm-hmm. happens. And I wrote down his quote because I'm going to be probably having to reference it this week. He said, quote, "To be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoy beating Matt LaFleur twice a year." Ben said that. And I'll just tell you this without, you know, in preserving my relationships. I was at training camp in August or late July with in Green Bay. And trust me when I tell you, and Matt LaFleur was asked about that yesterday or Tuesday, I believe. I think Matt Schneidman asked him about this comment and this quote, and he quickly said it's not even registering in his mind, essentially. I was at training camp, and trust me when I tell you guys, that comment, including what do the Bears look like, was brought up all the way back to training camp. Mm. So while it's being deflected this week by both coaches, and maybe Ben wants to go back and bury it a little bit, it is very much present, and they will use every tactic this week, both teams will, to get these men ready to play violently on Sunday. And that's probably the best way I can answer it.
You know, I think that when you heard Ben Johnson talk yesterday about the Packer defense, he spoke about it with really exquisite detail because he had studied it so much. But I think when you respect the Packer defense, yes, there's Micah Parsons and there's Rashawn Gary and there's the players, but I think Jeff Hafley has been the guy pushing the right buttons. Stacey, when the Packers look at the Bear offense, what do you think they consider its weakness to be?
Well, I think everybody right now realizes that downfield, Caleb Williams has not been particularly accurate and his completion percentage hasn't been particularly good and also under pressure. But there's a dilemma in that. So Caleb is 42 completion rate under pressure this season, under quarterback pressure, which is the fifth lowest in the NFL. So he's completing 42% of his passes under pressure. Here's the problem. In every conversation I have, and this included with the Eagles last week, because I, you know, talk to sources because I like to be informed when I have conversations like we're having right now. He has such great escapability. He's simply not taking sacks. I mean, he's not taking sacks to the point of even when the thing isn't blocked up, Caleb isn't taking sacks. So when he's feeling that pressure, he's evading it. And that's a problem. And he's able to throw on the run. But, you know, given that, the completion percentage is down. I think, you know, you'd much rather take away the run game if you're the Green Bay Packers, which they've been really good at, than if you're going to give something up, than the passing game. But I think it's going to click at some point for the Bears. I really do. I mean, here's the thing, though, that they're so good, Green Bay. They don't give up a bunch of yards, so they're number four total defense in football. They give up 19 points a game, and they're particularly good against the division in terms of their scoring defense. They're sixth in the league. They're the eighth best rushing defense in the NFL, and they're sixth against the pass. So they're good in every forum. You know, where I think it's going to be very interesting is big plays. The Bears lead the NFL with 94 big plays.
It's crazy. Like,
you think about that. So I just said all that in long-winded, and the Bears are the top big play. What is a big play? It's through the air, 20-plus yards in terms of completion, an attempt, and it's on the ground 10 or more yards. A lot of those big plays are run games. So that's where the Bears are scorching you. They're scorching you with these big plays. They're scorching you with Caleb's legs, and he loves big moments. So he's going to take care of the football. We know that about Caleb. And Ben is going to put him in really advantageous situations to manage the game. And that's been their formula, and that's what the Packers have to figure out. They have to figure out Ben Johnson. Jeff Hafley has to figure out what Ben's next move is and take it away.
Stacey, would you say Jordan Love is, especially coming off of that game in Detroit, would you say he's playing the best football of his career?
Absolutely. And talk to anybody in the league, Ruthie, and you know, they'll tell you that. He tied his career high with those four passing touchdowns. He was perfect on third down. What really impressed me, I texted a coach after that game with the Packers, and I just said, the aggression was just out of this world, like, awesome. And they were 3-for-3 on fourth down. So when Matt LaFleur is aggressive, I think they're particularly dangerous, and that's what's going to interest me. You know, one of the storylines is how aggressive he gets at home, given how Jordan's playing, to answer your question, Ruthie, because mm-hmm. he's playing really well.
So, Stacey, we had a conversation pretty much all morning long about coaches and fits and Fitz, F-I-T-S, at different programs, and Fitz, F-I-T-Z, at Michigan State. And it got around to Penn State, and Ben Roethlisberger threw out the possibility of Mike Tomlin leaving the Steelers. Just curious, you work the league, and you know all these coaches, and Mike Tomlin's been there as long as any, and he has not had a losing season. Do you think he would ever fit at a college football program, or what do you think his future holds?
I think he could fit Mike Tomlin anywhere because he's a motivator of men, young men, old men, middle men. I'm a big Mike Tomlin fan. And you know, the dilemma, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, is, to David, your point, he hasn't had a losing season. However, what do you want to, is this like a Lovie Smith replacement? Like, what's the next best year after Lovie Smith? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, Lovie was really good.
Right.
And people complained about how good Lovie was. And Mike's really good. And they did win a Super Bowl under his tutelage. And, you know, maybe they haven't gotten the quarterback particularly right all the time. Now, I don't know how this experiment's going to end with Aaron Rodgers, but he's been banged up all year. So maybe some things need to be tweaked in Pittsburgh. I don't know if it's the head coach. I know they've been clamoring for it, but could he go to the college ranks? Yeah, because like you spend 5 minutes around Mike Tomlin, David, and he's electric. But I do think things get look at Andy Reid in Philadelphia. Like, they booed him, frankly, like the last three seasons he was there, and they were still really good, and he goes and gets Patrick Mahomes. So the quarterback matters, and I think we're seeing that in New England. I think we're seeing that in Chicago. I think we're seeing that in Washington. And we're seeing that in Denver, and all these young quarterbacks are coming through right now, and you got to pick the right one.
Stacey, just to bring it back to the Green Bay game here real quickly, David and I spoke about this morning, but who do you think has more to gain? Did we say more to gain, or did we say more to lose this weekend in Green Bay? I think who has more to gain? Either way.
It's such a great question.
Well, I think we're talking in terms of the Bears, and they have the most to lose because of where they are and what that might
Tight that race is in the NFC, right?
Yeah. In the schedule.
It's an insane race, Ruthie. That's why it's so hard to answer, but it's such a brilliant question because the Packers are a half game back. Like, I don't know if I've seen it this close. Like, I'm looking at all the – it's like every team's one game away. I mean, so by no means are the Bears like, hey, we're the number one seed. Like Ben said it this week, you probably have to win at least 11 games to be guaranteed a spot. But then what are you doing after those 11 wins? Are you securing that number one seed? Like, it's so hard to get the number one seed to begin with. But Ruthie, I just think, like, I do think given the momentum of Chicago and the way that this city is rallying around them, I think it would be such a blow, but I don't think it would derail them. I think the division is that good with these two right now at the top. But I think pride's on the line for both teams, so it's going to be gut-wrenching, whatever losing locker room it is after the game Sunday.
Stacey, layer up and have a great Sunday.
Bundle
at Lambeau.
Stay warm.
Hope I get to see you guys. Have a good week.
All right. Take
see
care.
Stacey
Dales from the NFL Network. She will be at Lambeau Field on Sunday for Bears Packers.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Bruce, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, guys. It's cold and snowy out there, so it's a perfect time to huddle up by the hot stove and talk some baseball, right?
Sure. No doubt about it.
I hope so. But are the Cubs talking trades? I know next week are the winter meetings, but there's some speculation this week. Things are happening. Kyle Tucker reportedly visited Toronto yesterday. Patrick Mooney in The Athletic reported this morning that the Cubs bowed out of the Dylan Cease sweepstakes at $200 million. Where are the Cubs standing in their offseason plans, Bruce?
Well, the one thing that type of report shows you is that the Cubs are, number one, letting people know they're going to spend money, and number two, even though they finished second, there is, according to my sources, upwards of $50 to $60 million yet to be spent on this year's payroll. There's that flexibility in there for the Cubs right now to probably spend somewhere between $45, $55 million, which would even keep them from going over the luxury tax number at about $245.
Well, that is good to hear, but I think that hearing that a team finishes second is a bit embittering. It doesn't really, I mean, the idea, oh yeah, they know about everyone and they're in on everyone, but they are going to stop themselves from spending too much on someone. I can understand why it's newsworthy that they're in the mix, but you also want them to win and not finish second or fourth for Bregman or whatever it is.
Let me ask you something. I think we might have discussed it before. Dylan Cease is a durable pitcher. We know that. You know, since 2019, he hasn't missed a start. But is he anybody's number one that's going to compete? Is he a number one pitcher?
Who is the number one for the Cubs right now?
He could be.
I think you're right. Well,
Cease could be.
David's comment is he could be.
Right.
He could be, but is he an automatic guy for you to be your number one pitcher going into the playoffs? I don't know that. He certainly wasn't that this year with San Diego.
But one of the most impressive things about him is that he has pitched a lot, and he has pitched long enough that he's gotten better as a pitcher. So you think that the very fact that he's been able to pitch as much as he has should improve him.
Mike, I disagree with that. If you look at the innings pitched and the results, he averaged about 5 1/3 innings last year. To me, that's not an ace. But you know what? We shouldn't spend much time talking about
right.
The past.
But then Kate Horton averaged like 5 innings. So is he an ace?
Yeah, but the way
he was a rookie.
Yeah,
I know.
There was one difference when he went out there. Horton was told, "You have 75 pitches. Do what you can with it." Right. And I think for the second half of the season, outside of maybe Paul Skeens, he did it better than anybody else as far as efficiency.
Bruce, will the Cubs be proactive to try to preempt Kyle Schwarber from returning to Cincinnati? Because that was a report from Ken Rosenthal yesterday.
Right.
There's mutual interest from both sides of Schwarbs going back to Ohio. If he's going to have a homecoming, Why not Chicago?
I think it's a great question, David. I mean, why not? You know, he is, first of all, he's already the World Series hero, you know, from 2016. Second of all, it gives the organization the chance to catch up for a mistake that they made, one of the bigger mistakes they made by non-tendering him after 2020. You know, for $4.5 million, they said no thanks. So, you know, that was a blunder that they regret. And third of all, he's still going to play 33 of the most potent home run bats in the game, and, you know, a guy that you can plug in anywhere. You don't have any questions about bringing a Kyle Schwarber into your clubhouse. You already have that answer as to the individual you're bringing in and what he's going to bring.
I'm curious about the White Sox signing the left-handed pitcher Anthony Kay. That is for an innings eater, right? Is he a starter, or do you think he's a bullpen piece? It feels like they wouldn't have paid him the amount of money they're paying him if they didn't think he could eat innings for them.
Yeah, I mean, he's a starting pitcher, and, you know, this is very similar, if you remember 3 years ago, to Fetty coming over from Korea, right? And this is
you hope
is
so. Kay.
Well, I mean, it worked out well, didn't it? He pitched well for the White Sox. He brought him back, you know, a couple of good players when they traded him in a three-way deal with St. Louis and the Dodgers. But, yeah, this is okay, they have no guarantee on young pitchers' innings at this point. So
yes,
this is a first move to go and get a veteran guy through 155 innings last year in Japan. And he resurrected his career there. I mean, he was a dominant pitcher there. Is this the sexy move that the White Sox fans are going to get excited about? No, but it might be one of those essential moves where you bring in a guy that can eat innings while you're still getting your young pitchers ready to be able to throw 150, 160 innings in the big leagues, which was a difficult process for them last year for, you know, young pitchers with great arms that really weren't quite ready to handle the load.
What's the latest with Skubal?
Well, the smart money has him, you know, being traded in August, or in the end of July, if Detroit doesn't compete. Again, let's see the other moves that Detroit makes here. They've been kind of quiet so far as well. So with that in mind, let's see if the winter meetings here, if they get back into the Bregman deal. So last year, it was between the Cubs, the Red Sox, and the Tigers for Bregman. He signed with Boston that three-year, $120 million. Both the Cubs and the Tigers had given them longer deal offers for lesser AAV, you know, on the amount of money they were going to pay him. Let's see if that indeed comes back to Detroit again this year. If you see Detroit make a move like Bregman over the next couple of weeks,
oh brother,
you're not trading Skubal. There's some school of thought out there, guys, that Skubal will bring back more at the trade deadline than he would for you right now. So
can the Cubs finish second on Skubal?
You're mean, Mike.
I was joking. I was making a joke.
No, I mean, look, it's fair. You know, when you hear reports like they finished second, it doesn't make anybody feel good. You know, it makes you kind of look like, well, why did you finish second?
There's a lot of conversation, speculation surrounding Michael King still, Bruce. Who are the suitors for him, and how might he fit in a Cub rotation?
Well, I think the Yankees were kicking the tires on him again. I know the Cubs like him. If you look at his innings pitched and his injury history, you know, it's not a guarantee. When he's healthy, he's been really good. But, you know, is that a 2 or 3 year deal for the Cubs? Is that something that will leave the winter meetings next Thursday, knowing that they added that to the rotation? Will that be the solid move they make to move forward? Or is it going to be trade? Are they going to move for Joe Ryan? Are they going for Sandy Alcantara? Is it is Mackenzie Gore back into the mix? Well, certainly, who doesn't fit, into a Washington team that's going to be even worse this year?
I was watching Marquee the other day, and some sage veteran told me that their best chance this offseason to get a pitcher who could provide help and make an impact was Imai, the Japanese pitcher.
No doubt. Now, the question is, from the comments that he made about not wanting to join a team like the Dodgers or already have established Japanese players, does that apply to the Cubs as well? I know the Cubs are certainly interested. They've looked at him. They've watched him for a long time now. And I think that they're going to be in the mix. But when you wonder about whether or not these guys want to play for the Cubs or any team that passed the West Coast, you know, because of the proximity to Japan, you're not quite sure what you're bidding into. But Imai might be the most impactful guy out there available to him. You know, you love Mackenzie Gore and his stuff. You know, you don't love the numbers, but he's playing on a bad team. Struck out like 30 guys more than innings pitched. So he can be your dominant pitcher if you revisit that trade from last July that wasn't made between the Cubs and Washington. I love Alcantara. I mean, I love the idea of him with a couple years left coming to the Cubs. And, you know, it looked at like the end of the last year that he was the old Sandy Alcantara. So a lot of things to be done here. I think, again, they will spend money. Is it going to be via trade where you bring in guys that are already making money somewhere else? That's going to be the key to the Cubs offseason here.
Bruce, when you see, and we talked about it earlier, but when you see Kyle Tucker in Toronto, if as a Cub fan, shouldn't you want him to get the best deal possible just because that would help you get the best draft pick possible, right?
Yeah, I mean that for sure that's going to go along with it. But at this point, you know, we have heard nothing about the Cubs and Tucker in the offseason,
right?
So that ship has sailed. You will get a draft pick. It'll probably be a good one. You do, as you said, Mike, you want him to go to a team that is going to have to give up a higher draft pick, like somebody that finished up there like Toronto did. But in reality, I think, you know, fortifying the outfield themselves should be a concern, right? I mean, are you comfortable with the mix with Shota, the outfield mix that they have right now after Tucker? Are you okay with Suzuki playing every day in right field? Do you feel Casey is ready? Do you feel Alcantara is ready? Those are things that make you a little bit nervous right now.
Right.
And then finding at bats for Ballesteros is going to be one of the major themes during spring training if he's not traded before then.
So what do we have Saturday inside the clubhouse, 9 to 11, Bruce?
We have the president of business for the Chicago Cubs, Crane Kenny, will join us at 9:30. And then Gene Watson, we're hoping to have him. He's the head of player personnel. Talk a little bit about White Sox and moves coming up at the winter meetings. Guys, have a great day.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Bruce.
See ya. That is our guy, Bruce Levine. Interesting stuff. A lot going on.
Yeah, there's a lot going on getting ready for the winter meetings, which we hope will be active week.
Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback.
It is cold and it is windy down on that field. 27 degrees, the wind out of the southwest. Can gust up to 25 miles per hour. We will get snow before the end of the day. 15th play of the drive. With a game hanging on it on 4th and 8. Blitz. Rodgers gets out. Floats it. Cobb! Touchdown! Randall Cobb! His second of the game.
Joe, the defensive backs sit at the markers for the first down. They're not anticipating that the Packers are going to try to go down the field. Chris Conte, you see it, he's jumping. He settles right at the first down marker, and Randall Cobb goes right by him. Look at the job that John Kuhn does coming over to help get enough, just enough, of Julius Peppers off the edge, and Aaron Rodgers then able to buy a little bit of time. Now on the back end, Chris Conte, as I said, he sits on the first down marker thinking that they're going to throw the ball short. They also could have gotten Major Wright for pass interference on Jordy Nelson, but Cobb gets in behind it. And I got to tell you, Joe, that is not an easy throw for Aaron Rodgers moving to his left. A lot of good things on that play that had to happen for the Packers to come away with a touchdown.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
They get their wish.
Great choice for a song, Tanny. If you haven't heard, this song is called Nemesis. And that's what we're talking about here. Bears and Packers. Nemesis.
That was rough to hear that particular play from that particular game. But it is absolutely the first thing I thought of when I thought John Kuhn, Bears, Packers. And we are pleased to welcome John Kuhn to the show, I think.
Yeah, joining us from our sister station.
But then,
with our buddy Rami over at the Fan in Milwaukee.
Sorry, John. It's a bad memory. You know? It's tough in this town.
What's up, guys? I'll tell you what. When I got asked to come on with our big brother down at Score yesterday, I could have picked out a million different sound bites to come on to, but I never in a million years thought that Chicago station would play that sound coming into an interview. I'm thankful. I'm very thankful. Probably the greatest play of my career, or at least the one I'm known for the most. So thank you guys for that uplifting memory on a Chicago station.
All right. Well, it's been great talking to you, John. Thanks, buddy. We'll see
you later.
Talk to you later. No, man. It's like I used to refer to that as the play that shall not be named because it was so ugly. It's 4th and 8, but it's a great job by you getting over to make the block. But the reason why it had to be played, I don't know if there's been a Bears-Packers game since then where both teams have stakes. Both teams are good. Like the Packers are 19-3 against the Bears since that day, since that game in January of 2014. This is a different kind of moment where the Packers are looking up at the Bears, and it makes this rivalry that much more fun, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, I'm in the minority in Wisconsin. I'm happy that the Bears are you know, relevant. I'll say relevant right now. I still think your team is a year, maybe even two away from being a top, and you have to fear them in the NFC type team. But they're having a great season so far this year. But being atop the NFC, being atop the NFC North, it makes the rivalry fun again. Many of us that played in that game in 2013 credit ourselves for pretty much the demise of Chicago for a decade, and the run that the Packers have had. We consider that the nail in the coffin game. Julius Peppers later gets released. And when you talk about the game since then, you're right, there's been some games with hype. The 2018 season opener with Khalil Mack's first game, that had a lot of hype to it. The season opener of 19, Matt LaFleur's first game, that had a lot of hype to it. But nothing with the stakes like we have here this weekend, the same very similar stakes that we had in 2013.
Yeah, I feel like the game didn't live up to it, but the opener in 19 is also on that list for me.
Yeah,
the game itself was not very good, but this game is huge. We're late in the season. Both teams are playing well. The Bears are on top of not just the division, but the conference, which is a wild thing to think about if you go back 2 months. So let me ask you, John, what's been, as you look at the Bears, what's been the most impressive thing?
Well, you know, the general manager and the head coach did a good job of communicating with one another and addressing the most important need for that football team, which was the offensive line. I've been a part of the Green Bay Packers for 17 of the last 20 years. And when the Bears teams were really good, when we really had a tough time with them, great offensive line, great defense. That you could always count on that no matter who the skill players were. And I feel like in recent years, the reason why the Bears have struggled is because that offensive line was very gettable. Well, they did a great job in bringing in Ben Johnson to instill that mean, nasty attitude with the bells and the whistles to take a 3-yard run and make it look like a 15, 20-yard run because of the bells and whistles he attaches to it. But that's only as good as the players that you have up front. And they've really fixed that offensive line, one of the better offensive lines in the NFC. They can get after it in a run game, and Ben Johnson has a real fun toy to play with.
One more thing on the context here and the bigness of it. I heard this morning. Only twice since 1973 have the Bears and Packers played a game where both teams are 500. So, like, being this good, that's what's fun. It's like, if you told me this is an NFC championship game preview, I could see that. What's the dysfunction, John, with the Packers? We're hoping there's dysfunction we're not aware of. What is wrong up there? Because the Eagles had dysfunction, and it showed itself. The Bears were the better coached and more unified team. What is the Packers' problem?
Well, I think you missed the Packers' problem by about a month.
Yep.
It was about a month ago when the Packers were reeling, and people were wondering if this season continues the way it looks currently, Matt LaFleur might not get an extension after this season, and we may be looking for a new coach in the offseason. They seem to have fixed that. They have gotten it corrected. And really what it came down to was inconsistency on the offensive side on the ball. This defense is much improved this year for this Packers team. They have been slowly improving each of the last 3 years. But with the acquisition of Micah Parsons, they are now a premier defense in the National Football League. But a lot of stress was put on them in the middle portion of our season. Even games that the Packers did win, the offense was rocky at best. And it really showed its head when the Packers lost back-to-back home games at Lambeau Field to the Carolina Panthers and the Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, which, by the way, the defense led up 16 and 13 points in those games. They seem to have gotten that corrected. Jordan Love is back on par with his wide receivers. They made a couple changes with the offensive line, which is, I wouldn't say made it a strong spot on their offense, but it's not the glaring weak spot that it was earlier in the season. And the Packers seem to have a footing on what they were doing poorly and have corrected it. So I'm going to say to you guys in this one, good luck.
John, how would you describe the impact that Micah Parsons has had?
I'll say it this way. All the Packers defenders that are going to be in the Hall of Fame or mentioned around the Hall of Fame or had Hall of Fame potential, this guy's the best one. Charles Woodson impacted games immensely. but not to the extent of Micah Parsons. Clay Matthews wreaked havoc on quarterbacks, but not with the quickness and suddenness of Micah Parsons. It's just the way he enters the field, the attention that he brings to himself only adds to what other players on this defense can do. I've said a million times, you know, I made three Pro Bowls, and the number one person I can credit to that is Aaron Rodgers and the fact that I could play in an offense with him because I could simply just do my job. All the pressure was on him, and all the eyes were on him to make the spectacular plays. I just had to do the normal stuff. That's the way everybody else feels out there when they play with Micah Parsons. Let him be the closer. Let him be that outstanding playmaker. We just need to do our jobs and not mess this thing up.
Wow. That's high praise from the longtime NFL fullback, a former first-team All-Pro, Pro Bowler, as well, John Kuhn.
Well, wait, I want to make sure that John doesn't get aggregated. We're taking Reggie White out of that conversation, right?
Yeah. I did not play with Reggie. Okay. I did not cover Reggie. I'm talking about every Packers defender since 2005, and there's been some great ones. Nick Collins, had he not had the injury in 2011, Charles Woodson, obviously Clay Matthews, just to name a few. There have been some great defenders, but none quite like what Micah Parsons does.
So, I mean, if you were going against a Micah Parsons, would you run at him? What would you do? You're on some really good offenses. Would you try and attack that guy with the run? Nobody's listening. Bears coaches, certainly not.
Yeah, we'd probably do the same thing that we did with Lance Briggs and Brian Urlacher. One game, we'd run right at him. The next game, we'd make him chase the plays, right? And that's what you have to do in these divisional matchups. You know, playing two games in 3 weeks like they do, you can basically take all your plays, mix them up in a blender, and just throw them out there hodgepodge as you go along, because we're going to get, you know, somewhere around 120 to 140 plays on our defensive side, and same with the Chicago Bears. So you're going to understand what the Packers are trying to do defensively, and you're going to have to just account for Micah Parsons similarly to the way the rest of the NFL is, and that's by double-teaming and triple-teaming him at the highest rate of any other player.
But he moves. That's the hard part. He moves all over the place. So trying to figure that out. Like, I wonder if they'll come to the line of scrimmage with two different run plays and then see where he lines up and run the one towards that spot, something like that.
Yeah, you know, he moves around a lot more on third down than he does on first and second. He predominantly plays to the offense's left side on first and second down, so especially in the run game, you should know where he lines up as the Chicago Bears offense cares. So to me personally, Micah Parsons is just as good in the run game as he is in the pass game. A lot of people nationally think that he takes plays off or is not as good in the run game. If you really watch the impact he has, it's pretty massive.
My guy Chip Help is going to get a lot of plays.
Chip Help is going to be out there with Ozzie Trapillo doing his thing.
And Max Protect, both those
Max
guys.
Max Protect would be another good guy that you should throw out there to try and stop him. I know that where we're at right now, when there are head coaching jobs, people are looking for the Ben Johnson types. I feel like there might be a head coach on your staff, and it's Jeff Hafley. What has he done, and what's he like as a defensive play caller?
Well, he comes in not only with head coaching pedigree at the college level, he also comes in with much experience at the NFL level, many, many years before he was in the college ranks. He spent time in the NFL on the defensive side of the ball. So he understands the game here at this level. He understands what makes these players tick, and he understands how to get the most out of them. Last year, for example, we didn't get the pressure with four down linemen like we do this year. So we had to stimulate pressure by blitzing Edgerrin Cooper and Quay Walker, which worked out very well for us last year. This year, he doesn't need to do it. So we can play more of that umbrella two shell that you see most teams around the NFL play, limiting explosive plays and letting your playmakers on the defensive line get after it. He can adapt to the players that are playing in the game. He can adapt and maneuver around a game plan at halftime. And he's a tremendously – the guys absolutely love playing for Jeff Hafley on that defensive side of the ball.
John Kuhn, there are 12 teams in the NFL who have a fullback. That's it. It's 12. That's actually
– Isn't that a shame?
Yeah.
Isn't it a shame? It's a damn shame, guys. I feel almost as bad as the Bears in all their down seasons, right? NFL just feels right when the Packers and Bears are both good and play in a game that means something. The NFL is also right when you see a fullback out there taking a piece out of a linebacker's face mask.
So are there any tight ends when they line up at H-back and they make blocks? Are any of them as good as you were at leading a running back?
Yeah, do you know what? We got a couple guys on our team right now that can. When you talk about the tight end Wiley, watch out for Wiley. That guy can block on the move. He does a really good job there behind the line of scrimmage. Tucker Kraft is a pretty nasty blocker himself when they use him in the backfield. Obviously, his season is done for. But yeah, the niche of the fullback. I mean, you might as well call us a stegosaurus because there's not too many of us left.
John, on those Bears teams that you played against, who was the defender that you least liked to deal with one-on-one in an ISO?
Well, there was two of them, and they played on the team at the same time in Urlacher and Briggs. And you might want to ask, you got to pick one? I won't pick one. I won't do that disservice to the other one to pick one over the other. And I can remember later in his career, our scouts used to come in because they give an advanced scouting report every week to the offense and to the defense, and the scouts say what they saw. And every year towards the end of Urlacher's career, he's got a step slower. He doesn't come downhill as hard. He's not a thumper. He's a jump around guy. And I would go straight to the scouts and say, you guys are full of it. This guy is every bit 6'4", 260, and plays just as physical as he has since he was a first or second year guy. So those two guys were absolute animals. And, you know, that's what made this rivalry so great, is not just the teams that were good, but the respect for our opponents was very, very high. And I thought we had that with the Bears, and the Bears definitely got that out of us.
John, that was excellent analysis. We appreciate getting it. A lot of the listeners are angry and in bad moods right now. I don't think it's because of you.
Why? They're in first place. The Bears are in first place. And I say this all the time. You better enjoy it, because you don't always get to first place. So enjoy the time that you're there, and don't be angry about anything.
I think they're angry at our producer, Chris Tannehill, for playing that play on the way in. That's how I think.
You should watch it. You should watch it on YouTube. There's a Tecmo Bowl version of that play on YouTube. It's hilarious.
Oh, I've seen
it. It's hilarious. John, thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Absolutely, guys. Take care. We'll talk again down the road.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
So you want to start a business.
You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Airo. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Airo uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Airo. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.